Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
So Act 3 beginning now on the OLF-8 Super Discussion. That's the big old property. Used to be a helicopter landing field west of Navy Federal on 9 Mile that Escambia County has been trying to acquire for decades, trying to develop now for almost a decade. And we're late into the evening in this marathon meeting that started early in the morning with the Committee of the Whole, first time in 2 years. Good for them. I'm glad to see that back. And then the night meeting, which had been going on until about 12:30 in the end. At this point, we have two basically groups that are the favored groups. You have the Chad Henderson group, or Tri-W, goes by several different names typically. And then also you have Fred Hemmer's group, which is the Beulah Town Center group. And those are the major contenders. The Beulah Ranch group with Ryan had kind of fallen to the side a little bit. Who knows if that's going to stay that way, but the commissioners seem to be bickering or fighting over the two different groups primarily. Stephen Berry, District 1, had offered the Henderson group. Nobody seconded that motion. Steve Stroberger had offered the Fred Hemmer group and got a second from Mike Cola, the chairman, which is unusual, and Stephen Berry wanted to weigh in.
That's why we never had a contract that even came back to the board. We were not going to see the proposal could have been for $80 million. We weren't going to see $80 million. We weren't going to... Might as well have been imaginary money. We weren't going to see those dollars actually come to our coffers. And you have a well-resourced private company that has said, look, Stephen, it's not worth it. Why would I continue in that endeavor?
The point he's making is that even if you've got an offer for $50 or $60 or $100 million, if the terms never get satisfied and the money never becomes hard or committed or actually at risk, it doesn't matter. And his view of past situations is that you can start with the negotiations and it didn't produce anything. And so, you know, it's more about the terms of the deal than it is about the big bottom line number or about whether people say nice things in the meeting. I agree with him about those concerns.
But just a little bit of historical knowledge.
You don't believe that these folks don't have the resources to fund this, right?
I believe that. I believe both. And I don't know Ryan as well as I do the other folks that are involved. I believe that all three have the resources. Just because someone has the resources to do a deal doesn't mean we're going to get the money from them. That's my point. Horton had unlimited resources. We could have gotten an offer from Horton for $80 million for the property. It doesn't mean we were going to see the $80 million. There's so many other terms that are going to go into the contract.
And again, I agree with him about that. I wanted to give you a little bit of context so you recognize the voices. That's Stephen Berry, District 1 Commissioner, who no longer, can run the county with a 3-vote majority. He lost that when Steve Stroberger beat Jeff Bergosh in the primary and took over that seat for District 1, which is the Beulah seat, which is the OLF-8 seat, although everybody has a stake in this. Okay, this is going to be my favorite clip of the whole day. Now, there's more to come. This is not the only favorite clip, but this is a fascinating one because, okay, first, Steve Stroberger won his district by a majority, an outright majority. He didn't just win the plurality, he won an outright majority. Mike Kohler is going to be the one talking, and he's basically giving the idea like, look, I mean, Steve, it's his district, he won with the majority, and let me just say that Stephen Berry, who sometimes lets his anger show, is not going to like that.
The terms in the contract are going to be a bigger deal than the front-end sure. money. I just.
What I'm saying is, though, I do think that if it was in your district completely, I know it's close, I would have respected you on what you wanted. I mean, I have to take into consideration, I do. Steve won Beulah by a massive amount. The people out there listened. I think we need to listen. He talked to those people out there. And for me, I think that has a lot of weight. I believe both companies or all three of the developers will do that. But
I'm the first 4-term Republican commissioner in Escambia County history, for the record.
what does that have to do with this?
Well, you just mentioning Steve won Beulah by a massive amount.
Oh, yeah. I meant, I got you. Well, congratulations.
Well, it's moot. That's not newsworthy. It's never been, but that's the truth. So I understand what you're saying, but. There's political capital that exists, in multiple seats on this dais.
Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?
And Mike, I'm the first four-term Republican commissioner in Escambia County history, for the record.
Oh, that's adorable. Lumen May, by the way, is the first four-term Democrat, or maybe not the first, I don't know, but he is a four-term Democrat. That's why it's the issue of being a Republican. Do you know who I am? Isn't that kind of like you get pulled over by the cops, and they're like, you were speeding, he's like, do you not realize?
And Mike, I'm the first four-term Republican commissioner in Escambia County history, for the record.
I know I didn't win Beulah by a majority, but man, so Lumen May trying to, I don't know, he's just frustrated because the meeting's gone so long.
No one's really said definitely that they could live by the criteria that we've set. Maybe we'll negotiate it. We can get there. But some things that we may say that may be unreasonable. And at this midnight hour, we can't put that together, in my opinion. I think that fresher minds, a little time, and not kicking it down the road. But we have made tremendous amount of progress and listened to lots of people all day, to the point of fatigue, where our entire support staff that's going to help us implement this are just about gone tonight. I'll be candid. I don't like the vote at the midnight hour of something that's significant here. I really don't. I think. You know, we committee of the whole, we're there. I mean, we somebody said 25 years. Okay, we've been waiting 25 years, and now you want me to make this decision at midnight after we've been at this thing for about 15 hours, after Commissioner Stroberger been on this dais two times. You know, I mean, we need time for administration, legal, to have more conversation.
So he's my read. He's trying to beg for time because he sees the vote's likely to go the other way against what Stephen Barry wants. And, you know, saying Commissioner Stroberger's only been on the dais two times, yeah, but he knows the issue. He knows what he wants. I mean, he's been elected. He's capable. And then they have this conversation about wanting to put out a more detailed request for proposals to get or request for a qualification, either way, but, you know, for quotes, but to get a specific thing, which had already been done in the past, by the way. Ashley Hoffberger says...
Yeah, and you know, earlier I said that I would like more decisions.
Sorry, Steve Stroberger. I had my notes. Same names are killing me with these things today. Anyway, Steve Stroberger says.
Yeah, and you know, earlier I said that I would like more decision time.
You did.
And if that's what everybody wants, then I'm okay with that. But now that I'm sitting here, I think that we owe it to these developers to make a decision. I mean, they've been here just as long as we are, and they're all waiting for us to pull the trigger. So, but if you guys want to wait, I'll wait, but I'm also willing to make the decision and pull that trigger right now. We've got a motion and we've got a second.
Yeah, you're there. We know we're four of the commission. Well, we know we're three. Okay, Steve Stroberger, Mike Kohler are for Beulah Town Center and Fred Hemmer. We know that Stephen Barry is for the Chad Henderson Tri-W Group, probably, because typically this is how it works. Lumen's going to vote with him, however he votes. And it's a question of what Ashley Hoffberger wants to do. But they're going to blink. They're going to blink. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, you can visit watsonfirm.com. No new accidents to let you know about. Traffic's flowing smoothly now on I-10, I-110. But if you're on Highway 29, right around the I-10 intersection, they're going both northbound and southbound. You're going to see some minor delays. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the interesting late-night discussion about OLF8. And this is going to come up probably on this Thursday's meeting where they're going to do this all over again. So this is kind of getting you ready for that meeting. There's also a Beulah community meeting tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken. So if you want more information about that, it's online. Anyway, Steve Stroberger says, let's go. Let's make a decision. I'm ready. Nothing's going to change in a month. It's been almost a month now. You know, we've started negotiations with other people and they, you know, five other times. Why is this different? Why can't we just start negotiations with Fred Hemmer's group?
All right, I'm going to go back and then we're going to finish this up. Commissioner Stroberger, do you want to withdraw your motion?
No, I don't.
It's got a second. Let's go.
Okay. All right, there's a motion and a second. Please vote.
What's the motion?
Steve, please repeat your motion.
The motion is for the county to begin negotiations with Beulah Town Center.
Yep.
And keeping the 270.
Oh, now we're bringing in some confusion. Now we're bringing in unclarity.
All right. Is there a second?
Is that correct? Keeping the 200 and whatever.
Yes, as one,
the last
one
half.
Whole property, 540 acres.
Say,
we're
say keep, what you're saying.
We're keeping the 270 for the public light industrial. Is that what we're doing? With PEDC in Florida West?
Yes, that's the way it's been designed.
Please don't do that. Why even if you go with that?
Commissioner Stroberger, this isn't my district, but your people are, they don't look happy.
That's why I need a table just for a little bit.
The math has drastically changed. I'm sorry. The math has drastically changed when you take away 270 acres.
And that's been one of the ongoing questions, is whether it's the whole parcel or whether it's going to be split in half or not. And once it became unclear, then basically Stephen Berry says, you know, all right, I'm just going to sit here and listen. I don't know.
There's going to be huge infrastructure needs out there. I think those things are still possible.
That's correct. But agreed?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just kind of listening and taking in the discussion currently. So whatever you guys want to attempt to do is fine.
All right, it's midnight. Commissioner Stroberger, do you still want to move forward?
Okay, I think we need to push this
for
more discussion. I think I don't think I'm gonna
no.
So you retract your motion.
Yeah.
Y'all know what you want to do, but they didn't. And then. It's kind of the epilogue, okay? Three acts plus an epilogue. The epilogue is, it got weird because Mike Kohler tried to ask Allison Rogers, the county attorney in West Moreno, to do everybody's job for him.
Okay, what I would like to do in the interest, what I would like to, if the board is okay, I would like to have them negotiate with all three. And on the next meeting, though, I think we need to be prepared to make a decision.
What? They can't negotiate with three different parties when you haven't set parameters or even picked one.
And I know that that's frustrating for the staff, but we have set some new parameters. Allison, you have some questions?
Respectfully, Mr. Chairman, we don't know what to negotiate for.
Yeah, she's right.
Well, we've discussed quite a few things tonight from
that's
all.
That's the problem. Respectfully, that's the problem. Is it taking 270 out? Is it keeping it in? Is it to have public infrastructure, not public infrastructure? Is price the most important? Is it not? I mean, it's almost impossible. That is a task that I feel is almost impossible unless there are more specific parameters provided by you guys by a majority.
Yeah, I mean, she's right. The multilateral negotiations where you haven't even picked what your main priorities are or set the parameters on what's acceptable or not, is not fair to ask her and West Moreno County Administrator to do that.
Let's cut and dry just some quick answers because it's getting late. Do we all agree that we're going to sell the whole property or we're going to split it up? That's an easy one for everyone on the board to make a decision.
Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, there's no way to expect the staff to negotiate with three entities. There's no way to expect the staff to negotiate with three entities. If the board's not willing to take action, then how can we ask the only two employees that we have to basically take action for us or create action for us? If we're not willing to take action, okay, then we just come back and do it again.
So what's your recommendation?
I made a recommendation.
I made a recommendation that was
dismissed, so that's fine. But if we're not going to take action, I don't see any way we ask Wes and Allison to do anything.
I made a motion, died for a lack of a second. You didn't listen to me.
So here's what I'm hearing, Commissioner May. Commissioner Berry wants to make a motion still for...
Commissioner Berry's motion died for lack of second. No,
okay. He's referring to himself.
So I've got no more comments. I don't think our board's going to take any action. That's fine. If we're now talking about putting out an RFP for something, an RFQ, and whatever. I mean,
I've packed up my toys.
Where are you?
Commissioner Berry, we're
discussing things that put our actions years in the future.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean.
Is that not what it sounded like? I have already got all my Tinker Toys and my Legos in my bag. I am ready to go. I'm done. You guys aren't going to do anything. I'm out of here. You know, I told you what I thought we should do. I had it figured out.
And Mike, I'm the first four-term Republican commissioner in Escambia County history, for the record.
So,
and just vote.
Well, I think it, since there's not a motion in a second, we need to just come. I'm sorry, guys. I wanted to get there tonight. We exhausted this, but there's not an appetite to get there tonight. And maybe it's because we've just been here for a long time. But I guess what I would like, Wes, is to put it back on the agenda at the next meeting, give you guys the opportunity to reflect on what we talked about. But I promise I'll bring it up every meeting until we get this resolved. I was hoping we'd get there tonight, but we're not there yet. So,
can I tell you what I think was the mistake here? It was a mistake that was, it was an error of omission. In the committee of the whole meeting, it was a failure to do one simple thing that I think would have solved a lot of this. Typically, in my experience, is when you have multiple competitors offering for something at a meeting like this, you score them. You vote 1, 2, 3. All they needed was a simple ballot in the committee of the whole meeting in the morning that said, you know, these are the three offers. Pick your 1, 2, 3. And what would happen is you'd have Fred Hammer and Chad Henderson would get the most votes, and then you could pick, you know, out of those two. And that would at least give you likely guidance. It'd be like a straw vote. And then you could do the same thing at 12:30 in the morning and just say, okay, for these are clearly the two that we most prefer. Let's just pick between them. Pick one or the other. Simple ballot. I mean, it would have solved this, I think. But instead, we went for all those hours and didn't actually come to a solution. And we'll see what happens if it's Thursday. There you go. That's your three acts and an epilogue for the OLF 8 Super Drama. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling on I-10 between Pine Forest and Highway 29, that's I-10 eastbound, you're going to see some delays through that construction zone, maybe a five-minute delay just due to congestion. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you've got an import, you need to get it serviced, a BMW, Porsche, Mercedes, Genesis, Audi, Jaguar, a Lexus. You want to take it to a place where you know you can trust the work. Bobby Likas Auto Shop. They work on those cars all the time. You might think you got to go to the dealership. You don't. In fact, they cannot require it by federal law. They can't require it. And you can save money. You can save time. The gas, getting there if they're at a distance. And some of them are. Some of them are not. But Bobby Likas is right here on Davis Highway or on Highway 29. Their website is carclinicservice.com, like a healthcare clinic for your car. Kind of the idea is they want to see you a little more often. Just a little more often, routinely, to prevent the big things. You know, it's like you go to your doctor, you know, probably once a year to make sure and just check things out and make sure. And your body is a complex mechanical system that self-repairs. Your car is a complex mechanical system that does not even self-repair. So take it routinely to Bobby Likas and have him take a look at it and see what they might be able to prevent in terms of big, bad, long-term things. They have two locations now, like I said, on Highway 29 and Davis Highway. They also serve fleet. So if you have a company, GSA Fleet, Merchants Fleet, Cox Automotive, Fleetio, Donlin Enterprise Fleet Management, and more, one car or many cars, Bobby Likas Auto Service.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What should you look for in a church? Allow me to give you three things. Look for a church that exalts the Savior, a church that equips the saints, and a church that evangelizes the sinner. And by exalt the Savior, I mean a church where Christ is not just prominent, but where he's preeminent in the singing and preaching. And by equip the saints, I'm describing a place where Christians are learning the Bible and are growing in their personal walk with God. By evangelizing the sinner, I'm describing a church where the congregation is together focused on giving the good news of the gospel to the community around them. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you to get involved in a church with these three ingredients, and you'll find yourself in a healthy church.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'll have what she's having.
It's 729 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is out. Steve Taylor is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. Steve?
Well, the New Orleans personal injury firm is going to file a lawsuit against the city and the police department over the New Year's Day Bourbon Street terrorist attack. That lawsuit claims the city and police failed to put basic safety precautions in place for the citizens and the visitors. The Buccaneers won the NFC South for the fourth straight season. The team secured the division title after taking down the Saints 27-19. Baker Mayfield threw for 221 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick, added 68 rushing yards and 9 carries. The Bucs entered the NFC playoffs as a third seeded at 10-7, and they're going to host the number 6 Commanders in the wild card round on Sunday. Yay! And that's what's happening.
All right. I was really looking forward to the Lions-Vikings game. Both teams at 14-2. And
yeah.
So of course they're going to be going for it on fourth down, except for the time that they didn't. And first and goal. Inside run for Gibbs. Still going to the goal line. Number 4
touchdowns for Jamar Gibbs and a blowout by the Lions last night, which I don't mind, but it wasn't a great game.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There's some dangerous driving out there due to snow and ice from a storm making its way east to the mid-Atlantic today. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear on Fox.
We've had between 6 and 8 inches of snow, followed by really at least a half an inch of ice across most of Kentucky, more than was originally expected.
Around 300,000 power outages reported from Missouri to Virginia and more than 1,300 flight cancellations. 4 years since the Capitol riot when he lost, President-elect Trump's Electoral College win is certified today in Congress.
Members will have the opportunity to object to the results if they choose to, which hundreds of Republicans did in 2021 and groups of Democrats did in 2001, 2005, and 2017. It's unclear if any Democrats will object to President-elect Trump's victory this time around.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz in D.C. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 right now, 53 degrees in Pensacola. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. The family of 30-year-old Star Tucker, who was the victim in last Thursday night's fatal shooting in Escambia County, is still trying to find out why it happened. Her younger sister, Rhea Tucker, she told Channel 3.
He seemed sweet. He seemed innocent. He seemed charming.
Tucker, who's originally from California, graduated from Florida A&M University with a nursing degree. She then served in the Air Force and had been working in Pensacola. She leaves behind a young son. Tucker's boyfriend, 30-year-old Charles Carson Dowdy, is charged with her murder, which deputies say took place at the crossings at Nine Mile Road apartment homes on Baldridge Drive. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons told Channel 3.
The investigation revealed that the victim's boyfriend had fired about 15 to 16 shots and struck her 7 times at least, and then used her car to drive over her.
Rhea Tucker says they'd been dating for about 3 to 4 months. Early voting for the primary in the District 1 congressional race begins in 2 weeks, where 10 Republicans are vying for the chance to move to the special election on April the 1st. By-mail ballots have already been sent. In Escambia County, early voting dates run Saturday, January 18th through Saturday, January 25th from 9 a.m. till 5:30 p.m. in the afternoon. In Santa Rosa County, early voting dates run Saturday, January 18th through Saturday, January 25th from 8:30 a.m. till 4:30 p.m. those days. Special primary election day itself is January the 28th. Well, this weekend, it kicked off the Mardi Gras season in Pensacola, and on Saturday, folks in downtown Pensacola may have noticed an increase in first responders, barricades, and other safety measures as the beginning of Mardi Gras season rolls on. Pensacola police spokesperson Mike Wood told Channel 3.
The public always sees the obvious things, such as large trucks at big intersections, bollards, barricades. We use things like that, but there's also things that I'm not able to discuss that we use to try and keep the public safe.
Event goer David Kelly says while he recognizes the tragedy that happened in New Orleans on New Year's Eve, he's not afraid. He told Channel 3.
Not at all. Honestly, not at all. I'm originally from born in Gary, Indiana, raised in Chicago. That doesn't scare me. And the fact, though, that I did see some of the sidewalk blocks were up, that made me feel a little better, but it didn't scare me.
Pensacola police were seen over the weekend making improvements to the security in the area ahead of the blessing of the floats. The Fort Pickens Campground on the Gulf Islands National Seashore is closed until further notice due to the incoming cold weather. The National Park Service closed Fort Pickens basically at noon yesterday and told all the campers to be out by 3 p.m. All other Florida sections of the park will remain open for day use. And if you're flying out of Pensacola International Airport today, it might be a good idea to check with your airline because of disruptions caused by that snowstorm up north. Checking the departures right now, it looks like three are delayed and one is canceled. Arrivals shows two delays and one cancellation so far. Let's check the forecast for us from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a sunny and cold day today. Temperatures falling through the afternoon, 46 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 30s, 32 degrees. For Tuesday, sunny skies, high near 47. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 27 degrees. Keeping the cold forecast for that Wednesday with sunny skies, high near 48. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. No accidents to let you know about right now, but you're still seeing some delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. Be aware of that. Other than that, traffic, if you're going through the Windhaven Beach area, you're going to see some major delays there going eastbound, about a 20-25 minute delay there, so just be prepared for that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. Right now, 53 degrees in Pensacola, 53 also in Gulf Breeze, and 52 in Milton at 7:35. Next news is 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Hi, my name is Michael Dylan Thompson, candidate for Congress here in my home district. I'm proud to be the only candidate who voters petitioned to be on the ballot. Every other candidate paid over $10,000 to qualify, often using either lobbyist or special interest money. As a born and raised Pensacola native, I will fight for my district. I will fix the insurance crisis created by establishment politicians, and I will protect our brave service members who keep America free. We don't need outsiders bringing Washington, D.C. corruption into Northwest Florida. We need new ideas and fresh leadership to fight for us. As your congressman, I pledge to always put Florida first. There is a critical election on January 28th, and I need your vote. This is our chance to take back our voice and send a clear message to the career politicians. We won't let special interests decide our future. Together, we can restore accountability, protect our values, and secure a stronger future for Northwest Florida. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, and I'm proud to approve this message.
Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson for Congress, Republican.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, life on the farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Yes, it's our monthly check-in with our good friend Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. He makes the peanuts that your kids eat in their peanut butter and their their Snickers, and he also farms the cotton that winds up in your Levi's or your T-shirts, and sometimes he does other stuff as well, a whole variety of other stuff as well. And it is January, so Happy New Year, Ryan. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Happy New Year. Good morning. How y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great, doing great. I see you're a multimedia star now, not just on the radio, but they have put a whole feature that has pictures of you farming in the PNJ with an article about the loss of farmland in Santa Rosa County.
Yeah, I guess it was a slow news week.
Well, it is the new year, you know, sometimes. But they had taken pictures, obviously, back when you were harvesting cotton back in, what, probably October or something like that. But the article is all about preserving.
It was early October.
Yeah. The article is all about preserving farmland, something you and I have talked many, many times about. The basic problem, right, is if, you know, you can rent out your land at a couple thousand dollars an acre to a farmer, to somebody like you who farms it, or you can sell it to a developer for $15,000, $20,000 an acre. Well, math is math, right?
Yeah, it's tough. It's one of the most difficult positions anyone can be in. You know, the deal is, a farmer can no longer control his destiny. He can't afford to buy the land for the prices that the developer can afford to pay for the land. So we're in a contest against developers typically, and there's just no way, you know, they're going to make way more money out of that land than we would ever make out of it in a lifetime of farming it. So it's a difficult position to be in, and people just need to be aware, you know, that it is a problem. We obviously have to have land to be able to continue farming. And I've said it many, many times. Believe me when I say you don't want us to have to depend on another country for our food and fiber. And if we don't kind of change the trajectory of where we're headed, that's what's going to end up happening before it's all said and done. And it's strictly because we can't continue to own enough land to be able to farm and produce enough products to clothe and feed everyone.
And it's one of these challenges where, and I think you even said it in the article, was that, you know, a lot of people have this idea like, well, if I farm so many acres, I must be rich. No, you farm it, you don't own it. You know, pay land rent to the people who own it. But the problem is, you know, economically for them, they make more money by, you know, selling to somebody else, a developer or something like that is the challenge. And there's been, you know, proposals, everything from like land trusts to kind of conservation easements where, you know, governments or, you know, other people might invest, nonprofits might pay for various limitations on how land can be used, subsequent owners and things like that. It's something I know has been worked on a lot, both at the state and the federal level. Are we, in your mind, any closer to getting a viable solution to make this problem better?
Those are some of the things that are being looked at and they're being worked on, and they are, I would say they're in their infancy in some ways, you know, they're starting to happen, but it's still very much a work in progress. You know, it's such a slippery slope because the deal is we have to protect our farmland, but at the same time, we don't want to tell people what they can and can't do with their land.
Amen.
You know, it's not fair if a farmer has, you know, acquired land over their career and then they get older and basically die and they leave it to their sons and daughters and they don't want to be farmers. It's not really fair for them to be stuck with it and can't do anything with it other than farm if that's not what they wanted to do. Or same way with a farmer. If he gets in trouble somewhere along the line, financially, and he needs to sell some land to be able to pay his debts or whatever, you know, he needs to be able to do that. So it's very, but at the same time, we don't need to be out there developing. I feel like we don't need to be out there developing prime farmland when there's some less desirable land over here that we could develop, if that makes sense. So I think we have to incentivize some of those things and really, really work to toward a solution that benefits everyone.
Yeah, I agree. All of those are the parameters, and right now we have a, you know, push for development in Northwest Florida that's really pushing in one direction on these problems. And, you know, once the land leaves rows and crops and becomes homes, you never unplant homes. And that's, you know, that's the basic.
That's great. Once you plant a home on it, it's done.
Yeah, you never get another crop out of that thing. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, I did want to ask you, first of all, it's January. The ground is hard. There's not a lot of rain, although yesterday was an exception. But you're not planting or harvesting right now. What are you doing with your time?
Now, we have all of our cover crops planted now, so basically all the field work's done for a month or so. And so this is really our cleaning up and fixing everything that we tore up in the fall time of the year. A lot of mechanicing going on. And then a lot of just planning. You know, it's the time of the year that we have to get our operating loan for this coming year. December, January is that time frame. So that's something that's harder to do every year. And also, believe it or not, you know, it'll be planting time the middle of April or so.
Yeah.
And it's time to start ordering seeds. So that's one of the most important decisions a farmer makes every year is what type of crop is he going to plant where and what seed is he going to use, what variety of seed. So those things are, you know, we'll be looking at data from the past years and from past trials, trying to decide what will do best on our land. Looking at the commodity markets, trying, which is almost impossible to do now, trying to figure out what crop may potentially make us the most money this year, and then try to figure out that'll work into our rotation that's needed. So there's a lot of planning and a lot of thinking that's going on right now. And like I say, it's time to place our orders because April will be here soon, and it takes time for them to come up with the seed and to get it treated and shipped in and all that. So.
Well,
there's a lot going on, even though you don't see us out in the field much.
I don't know, Ryan. I mean, you make it sound like it's hard, but, like, all you've got to know is over the course of the next 10 months, what's the weather going to be like? How hot's it going to be? How much is it going to rain or not? What are the costs of all the various inputs that you have to factor into? And then what's your end price going to be 10 months from now? It doesn't seem like it's that hard to figure out.
It's not. I'm really surprised there's not more farmers than there are.
And also figure out where you're going to get your money in an industry that routinely struggles to, you know, make ends meet and break even and, you know, depend on the kindness of strangers for basically everything that happens in your life. I don't know that it seems all that hard to me, but, you know, whatever. I just do radio.
there's really not much to it.
for those of you who do not have a sarcasm gene. 100% sarcasm. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins. Ryan, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to let you know about, but if you're traveling I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, I'm just seeing some congestion delays of about 5 minutes. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Ryan Jenkins. Ryan, I saw an article, and I don't think you and I have had a chance to talk about this on the air, and I thought it was interesting. It was just because I come from the land of corn. I come from, you know, Illinois originally. And it was an article that talked about a new kind of corn that's being developed that's short instead of tall. It's only 5 feet tall instead of what I guess like 7 or 8 feet tall. And it's highly resistant to wind because it's shorter. And you can plant it a little bit more densely because it has less sun blockage because it's not as tall. And I thought, I should talk about this with Ryan. I know you do a lot of experimenting, you know, with corn. Corn's not a major crop for you, but you do a lot of experimenting with it. Is that something that you guys have been playing with? Do you know much about that? I'm just kind of curious your take on it. You're my expert, so I'm asking.
I have not done any trial work with that, but I think all the things that you just mentioned are real things that do make a difference in your final yield. You know, this part of the world, there's no infrastructure here for corn, so basically we have to let our corn get field dry. We don't have a lot of dryers in our area and grain bins and things like that. So for us to sell it, we have to let it dry in the field, which makes it more susceptible to wind damage. So afternoon thunderstorm, you can have a beautiful crop. Afternoon thunderstorm come through, blow it all down on the ground, and lose half of it just in the afternoon type storm. So being more storm resistance is something that we look at in every trial we do, no matter what the crop is, because, you know, of the hurricanes and the afternoon storms that we have so often here. So that is something that's big. It's easier for it to translocate the nutrients through the plant, the moisture through the plant.
Oh,
there's
yeah,
a lot of things
that
about
sense.
It that make sense to me. So I would be interested in looking at it and trialing. I can tell you one time we did have a variety trial, and the ugliest, shortest-looking variety out there that you wouldn't have thought would have done anything won the whole trial.
Huh.
So maybe there's something to it.
Ugliest, shortest. The Andrew McKay variable? Is that what I feel like that's what you're talking
about. Kind of like that.
Take that a little personally. I mean, you know, you're, what, 6'2"? So, you know, I just know who you're talking about here. so, last thing that we always like to end with, Ryan, do you have a farm fact for us this week, this month?
Well, you know, when I couldn't go to sleep last night, I was trying to think what farming fun fact I was going to use today. I said, you know, we never talk about livestock in Santa Rosa County.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
I don't know that we've ever mentioned it. But I looked up the data this morning, and did you know that Santa Rosa County is home to right at 8,000 head of cattle?
Hmm. I see them when we're bicycling. I definitely see them around, but so I wouldn't have even known where to guess at the number. 8,000 head of cattle?
Yep, 8,000. You know, it goes up and down, but that's kind of where it averages out at every year.
Well, that'll keep my family in hamburgers for about 3 weeks. So, okay, fair
enough. No, I'm good to go for about a week with that.
With your two boys. Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. As always, Ryan, thank you for the time, but more importantly, thank you for doing what you do to educate people about farming and for actually doing the farming that, you know, makes peanuts and cotton for us, essential things that feed my kids and clothe them. I really appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you for having us on. I'll see you soon.
Always. 7:50 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars. And the thing that makes them different, and I mean, a lot of things make them different, but, you know, I've bought a number of cars in my life. And whenever you buy a used car, I've never bought a new car. I've only ever bought used cars. Whenever you buy a used car, it's always like, I hope I get out of there with my skin intact. You know what I mean? There's always that feeling of like, oh, man, I don't like this. And you feel like, you know, somebody's going to try to take advantage of you or slip one over on you or whatever. And I just did not have that experience at Frontier. It was everything the opposite. It was easy. It was not high pressure. They were willing to work with me. They followed up after the sale to see if there was anything that they could do afterwards. And the kind of approach that you take when you're not trying to just have like a single interaction with somebody and get what you can get out of them in that one time, but where they know they're going to have multiple interactions with you over the course of maybe decades, where they want you to trust them so much and feel good about the experience that you come back and come back and come back and come back. And that is exactly how we feel. We feel like Frontier is the place where I feel safe. You know, like I don't feel like I'm at risk. Like I just have to barely get out of there with my, you know, my tail with me. And I appreciated that. And I like that. That's part of the reason why I promote them, because I think they do a great job of dealing with people like people. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hey, folks. This is Jimmy Patronis, Florida's chief financial officer, wishing each of you a Merry Christmas. Now, I just received an amazing phone call a few weeks ago that I want to tell you about. President Trump called me and said, Jimmy, I want you to run for Congress. Wow. Yes, the guy who just won a landslide victory defeating the crazy Democrats in Washington, the guy who just got shot, stood back up and said, fight, fight, fight. That guy. President Donald J. Trump told me to run for Congress. Well, my mama didn't raise a dummy, so my response to the president was a very simple, yes, sir. I will run, and we will enact President Trump's agenda. We will secure the border. We will get rid of the woke foolishness in Washington. It's an honor of a lifetime to have President Trump's endorsement. The president can count on me, and so can you. I'm Jimmy Patronis, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message. I'd be honored to have your support. Paid for by friends of Jimmy Patronis, Inc.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Ever have one of those days where your gut just feels blah?
Ugh, yes.
Occasional bloating or gas could be signs that your gut is out of balance.
but Align Probiotic can help. Align 24/7 Digestive Support is a daily use probiotic with a unique strain to help relieve occasional digestive issues. It's the number one doctor recommended brand. So when you feel the signs, it's time to try Align. Align Probiotic. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Right, open your boxes. Open your boxes. One, two, three.
That's got to be one of the all-time wildest moments on TV. And I was just rewatching that the other day, just that, because I was looking for that one clip. And you know what I didn't remember about that is she had told people they were giving away cars with boxes and keys, and I guess she had given a couple of them away, and she gave everybody a box and said, all right, we got one last car to give away, so whoever's got a key in their box gets the car, and then everybody's got a key. I mean, that's, look, whatever else you might say about Oprah, that's pretty good TV. 7:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling eastbound on 98 from, I would say, the Navarre Beach Bridge, going eastbound, you're going to see some major delays, maybe about a 20, 25-minute delay through that area. So just be prepared for that. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, starting to see more congestion delays there, about a 10-minute delay through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. We've got David Wayne is out this week. We've got Steve Taylor sitting in for him with our headlines. Steve?
Well, good morning. Actually, David's out today only. He'll be back tomorrow, so have no fear.
All right. I didn't know.
Congress is going to meet today, and they're going to certify the results of the 2024 election. Members of the House and Senate will count the electoral votes from all 50 states and the District of Columbia, with Vice President Kamala Harris reading aloud each state's results.
You know, I had somebody ask me the question, do I think it's going to be weird for Kamala to have to announce that somebody else beat her in the election?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just what the vice president does. It's not that big of a deal.
That's her job.
Yeah, and I mean, she'll probably make some, they've already been making hay out of, this is what Trump didn't want to have happen with Mike Pence, but Mike Pence did do it, so anyway.
So, yeah, I can understand how she feels, but it's her job and she'll do it. President Biden signed a bill that expands Social Security benefits for millions of retired Americans. The Senate voted 76-20 to pass the Social Security Fairness Act, which removes two federal policies that stopped employees with public pensions from collecting all their benefits. The increase of benefits under the new law would be backdated to December 2023, allowing eligible recipients to get a full payment. And a third of workers are considering moving jobs in 2025. That's according to the Global Talent Barometer from Manpower Group, which asked about 12,000 workers across 16 countries. Younger workers between 18 and 27, it's closer to one half planning on a job change this year. Meanwhile, over 4 in 10 remote workers who tend to report better well-being and work-life balance are reporting themselves likely to change jobs also. Well,
I want to apply for the job of Global Talent Barometer. I feel like that's a great job title. Steve, thanks so much for the update. 7:58 News Radio 92.3. Speaking of moving for jobs or caring about moving in a different place, I thought this was kind of interesting. United Van Lines had come out with their annual National Movers Study to tell us where people are moving. And for years and years, they were moving from California
to Illinois, Florida,
New York to Texas, and Florida was a big one. And now things are just a little bit different. The top 10 inbound states for 2024, according to United Van Lines, West Virginia. Really? Okay. Delaware.
Really?
Same. South Carolina. I get that one. Mm-hmm. District of Columbia. Again, really? people are moving to D.C.
Well, we've got a new administration, you know.
Yeah, but this is for prior to that. Okay, sure. North Carolina, Alabama, Rhode Island, Oregon, Arkansas, and Arizona. Departure states: New Jersey, Illinois, New York, California, all the known suspects, Massachusetts, North Dakota, Wyoming, Mississippi, and Nebraska. Florida's just in the middle. Florida's been in the middle. We have been, you know, at the top of the inbound states, but now we are, we were on the inbound states since 2018. This is the first time we are off of that. We're just kind of balanced right now in Florida, perhaps because of some of the housing and insurance market.
Listen on air at 92.3.